All right, wish to greet you all this morning in precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you, Lord, and we thank you for your goodness, for your mercy to us, Lord. We just ask your blessing upon us, Father. Lord, we just ask that you would guide us, Lord, that you would fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom. Lord, again, we thank you for all that you do for us. Be with each one here, Father, and just help us all to have ears to hear and understand, Father, your will and way for our life. Again, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I want to open our Bibles to James chapter 3 this morning. Verse 13 is where we'll begin reading. The reason I wanted to come to these verses is I was thinking about another thing talking about this morning, and as I was thinking of that, I thought how that in order to come to truth, or in order to follow the Lord, in order to understand his Spirit, entreatable came to my mind. And being able to change what we have always thought is truth, and being open to truth, not just our traditions. In James, or in Colossians, it talks about, let me just read it. Verse 8, it says, chapter 2, verse 8 in Colossians, it says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy, an empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ." Realize that's talking about remaining firm in our what we know of Christ and who he is. But the point that I wanted to get out of that is that all of us, whether we believe it or not, have been influenced by tradition. We all have. It's just the nature of this world to grab hold of something that's been ahead of us or been before us, and we're so easily influenced by the way things have always been, it seems, in our eyes, even though oftentimes the way things have always been are far from the things, far from the ways that they always were. We adapt to traditions, and traditions just continue to change, and we don't even realize it oftentimes, and we just keep on to these traditions, and they evolve in themselves to become far from what they were ever intended to be. That's why this Christian life can't be placed in a box of how it always was, because as firm and as hard as men have tried to maintain what they have and pass it on to someone else. What substitutes truth is tradition. And that tradition is not what we're actually trying to follow. We're trying to follow Christ. And as we have been brought up or taught, oftentimes we have to weigh in our own minds a new truth against our tradition. And so something new comes along besides what we've been taught from our youth or what we've been taught from a baby that was just rock solid truth. And as we get older, we begin to read the Bible or we begin to see things around us and we begin to realize that, wait a minute, there's something not right with just what I've been taught. The majority of people just decide, I'm not going to even question what I've been taught. I'm just going to hold on to tradition. And so close the door to anything different than what we've been taught. All of us, most of us have grown up in some different manner or some different way. And most of the time our parents were just firmly convinced in what they believed and the way they taught us. And so it's just natural for us just to follow those things and just create a tradition in them. And sometimes we've had to, as we've opened the Bible and listened to the Lord, and we've been led out of some of those things that we've been taught from our youth. And it's difficult for us. But the way the Lord leads us is to show us one step at a time. Just looking back over my life, how many different things that I thought were just truth and I've had to change. I've had to accept that just what I thought I knew is not what was right at all, and had to adapt. And so that's where I came to the word intreatable. Let's go to James here and we'll read this. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. Who among you is wise and understanding? You know, a lot of times we think someone wise and understanding just has all the answers. Just knows everything. But oftentimes the wise and understanding doesn't have the answer. And they're willing just to have patience and wait until the Lord shows the answer. Wisdom is not just a bunch of knowledge piled up in your head. Wisdom is not actually knowledge. Wisdom is having the ability to let God be higher than you. To let the Lord guide you. You know, the problem with knowledge is we get secure in it and we get puffed up in it. That's what the Bible says, that knowledge puffeth up. And sometimes to actually have wisdom, we've got to wade through a whole world of knowledge and be willing to discard a lot of it to find truth and to find that way. And so wisdom is someone that's wise and understanding is not always the smartest person in the room, but someone just willing to let the Lord guide them into truth. And that doesn't always look too good. And most people don't want to wait on that. They want to jump to their own conclusions or jump to their own reasoning or jump to their own knowledge. But that's not wisdom. That's not understanding. It's much deeper than that. Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. You see, if we have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, we cannot have wisdom. As smart as it may appear to people, if there's bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, we are lacking in wisdom. How many young religious people, young men who find a little bit of truth, immediately just begin to cast away everything that they've ever learned because they now have truth, and now they have truth. And oftentimes that's nothing but selfish ambition. I've got something. I've found something. I've been lied to all my life, and now I've found something much greater. And so everybody's wrong. And so you throw away everything and you set yourself up as the only smart guy in the room. The only wise one, because you found something. That's selfish ambition. We talk about people all the time that never can get along and work with anybody. They divide and fight and argue amongst themselves because they're guided not by wisdom but by selfish ambition. They become so wise that pretty soon, we've talked about it, about they wind up on a hill in the middle of Kentucky all by themselves because they're the only ones that can be right. No one can be right with them. Sometimes we call that the Noah syndrome. Everybody wants to be the Noah or the prophet and be wise. And no one will listen to them. That's why they're out there all by themselves, because no one understands. Them and their family are the only ones that see the truth. We've got thousands and thousands of Noahs today, because they found a little wisdom. They found a little knowledge. And instead of seeking true wisdom, they pursued selfish ambition. And that selfish ambition has led them to become their own Noah. They're righteous in their own eyes, and no one else understands. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. See, people that have this bitter jealousy and selfish ambition become arrogant, and they lie against the truth while they're saying the truth. They're speaking true words, but they're lying against the real truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. All with the appearance of holiness and righteousness. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. It's first pure. The goal and the desire is for what is right and true. And what is right and true is not mean and cruel. It's pure. There's a pure desire, free from selfish ambition, free from bitterness and jealousy. It doesn't have that. That's what they're talking about, pure here. It's just a simple desire for truth, not for self-exaltation, not for because you're all bitter, because you were lied to when you were young or when you grew up. You know, we've had a journey finding the truth, finding what we've had. Been through a lot of different places and a lot of different groups. And you know, some people say, well, you were so long, you were with those people for a while, and you were with these people for a while, and you've just wasted your life. And I've never thought that. It was where I was, and it was a school. It was a learning from where we were. And we don't look back on where we were and despise those where we were at. We don't look back on them and with bitterness, oh, I was misled or I was misguided. I am thankful for what I was taught. I'm grateful for the people that I've been in contact with and come up through learning. Wisdom is first pure, and then it's peaceable. We don't have to make everybody our enemy because they don't have the truth, and I do. It's peaceable. We don't have to reject everyone because they don't agree with us. You know, some of these things we've had to learn. You know, it's kind of, we look back through history and we see revivals and we see the things that people who really stood for something and they had to fight. And so we think we have to fight. All we have to do is walk, and we have an enemy. All we have to do is go forward in the light, and we will find a fight. We don't have to create our own. We don't have to just push things until we're persecuted. All we have to do is walk in the light, and the devil will be against us, and he will find friends to be against us. It's first pure and then peaceable. We don't have to be against someone. All you have to do to have people against is to walk in the light. To be for the Lord, for His cause. And I've heard preachers say that you got to get mad at something before you preach, so you can really give it to them. But that's, you got to be for something. And you'll find your share of enemies. Gentle. Gentle. That doesn't mean soft, but it's gentle. It means taking time for people who aren't where you're at. The opposite of that is trying to force someone in to do something. Trying to pressure them. That's the opposite of gentle here. Gentle is being able to tell someone something and then letting them choose their own path. Letting them. You know, sometimes you begin to think, nobody even cares about what you say. Nobody even cares about what you're doing. because it just seems like nobody listens. So you just got to kind of present that and then just walk away. And it just seems like you're irrelevant in life. Jesus was despised and rejected. He didn't go around trying to force people in his way. Gentle is being able to let someone find their own way. Reasonable. That's one thing, you know, one of the shortest things that we have today is common sense. Just being reasonable. You hear stories all the time about things that are going on in this world that are just completely, they don't make any sense at all. Why would people say or do or act the way they do? Because they're unreasonable. You can't deal with them. You can't talk with them. It just, nothing makes any sense. How many times we've seen things that if people would just listen for just a minute, but they're unreasonable and you can't tell them anything. You have to be patient and let them. You know, I thought about the verse, we've heard it a lot, and it just kind of dawned on me this week that about casting your pearls before the swine. Jesus talks about that. And one of the attributes, I think, of someone seeking the Lord with purity is honesty. Just trying to be transparent. Just trying to be open and honest. Sometimes you see people and they come up to you and they start talking to you and they just start asking a bunch of questions. And we just want to be honest because we're open. We don't have anything to hide. And so we just start saying what's on our heart. But their motive is to hear you say something. And they take what you say and then turn again and rend you with it. This is what Jesus was talking about whenever cast not your pearls before the swine. It wasn't, don't go out and preach. You know, I've heard that all my life. You don't go out and preach, you're just casting your pearls before swine. But that wasn't what he was talking about. It was whenever someone's coming at you and they're going to actually take what you say and turn again and rend you with it. That's where wisdom has to come, to where sometimes when someone comes up and starts pumping you full of questions, you just got to almost say, it's none of your business. Instead of just being open and honest and tell them. Because the purpose of their asking is not to learn wisdom. It's to find something to turn again and rend you with. That's why Jesus said, don't cast your pearls before the swine. If someone is a swine and they rend everything you say, you don't have to tell them anything. How many times did Jesus, the Bible just says he answered them not a word, or he didn't answer them, just ignored them. Because he knew that anything that he said would be taken and turned again and rend him with it. They would eat him alive with what he said. So it isn't about just preaching the gospel. It's about when someone's just looking for something to eat you alive with. How many times we've been in a situation where it feels like whatever you do is going to be bad. Whatever you do. the person is going to just take it and turn it to evil. You do one thing, they say, well, he shouldn't have done that. You don't do anything, and they say, well, he should have done something. They're just looking for an opportunity to rend you. And we're not accountable to them for those things. People that do that, we are not responsible to them. We're responsible to the Lord and to His truth. Sometimes wisdom might not seem too gentle. There was times Jesus wasn't too gentle to evil. Reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits. Full of mercy. I think this is where it gets hard again, because being full of mercy, we're so quick to forgive someone. We just have this hope that, oh, maybe. The danger is just to get all hard and say, oh, there's no hope for anyone. The challenge is to be full of mercy, hoping, but still being wise enough not to cast your pearls before the swine. You know, someone comes up and they're all friendly, and the hope is that, oh, it's just, you know, we just forget everything and just forgive them and ready to receive someone back, or ready to receive someone for what they've done us wrong. And hoping that they will, but still being wise enough that that's probably not what's going to happen. Full of mercy and good fruits. Unwavering, without hypocrisy. Unwavering. Sometimes we think that someone that's a rock never changes his mind. They're just unwavering. They believe what they believe and they never change their mind. This is what I'm talking about, easily entreated. Someone thinks that they're really solid because, boy, they've got their sights set and there's nothing changes them. Well, a rock never changes either. But we're not rocks. That's why unwavering is unwavering on pursuing Jesus. We're in this flesh. We're in this body. We're surrounded by tradition, corruption all around us. But being unwavering is not being able to change your mind. It's being able to change your mind and never wavering on the goal that you have. We think that changing our mind is being tossed to and fro. But unwavering is that whenever we have the goal of seeking the Lord's will. Sometimes you might even appear a little confused because you don't know exactly what the Lord's will, but you're pursuing it, and so you just hang on. Unwavering is being solid, having a firm heart to go through whatever God sends you. Press on. Not just being an old cold stone, never changing. Unwavering doesn't mean never changing. Unwavering is pursuing, being able to go through whatever God sends you without hypocrisy. And here's what I was talking about. We want to be open. We want to be honest. We want to be without hypocrisy. That's wisdom. being able to be that open and be honest, but yet realizing that you can't always be to everyone that way, because they will take your honesty and your sincerity and your goodness and your mercy as your pearls, and they'll take that and they'll turn again and use that against you. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Our goal as we pursue this life is pursuing Christ, pursuing His Spirit, pursuing truth, allowing Him to guide us, to change us, to mold us, to make us. Tradition, holding on to what I was always taught, is safe, secure. It looks solid. But what really is solid is having our feet firmly planted on Christ as our foundation. I wanted to talk this morning about the Bible. You know, we have taken this book as our guide. So many people take this book and set it up to a place. They worship it. They're not gleaning wisdom from it. They study it, getting knowledge, but they're not finding the truth in it. Sometimes we have to look beyond the sacred page, letting it guide us. So many different versions of the Bible and different translations, the different testaments in the Greek and the Hebrew, different text that are in the Bible. Some have been altered. And yet people have such confidence in this version or that version. And yet the goal is lost. We need to be able to look at, why do I believe what I believe, without despising those who aren't willing to look and just go on. Wisdom from above is, King James says, it's easily entreated. That doesn't mean they're just tossed to and fro in the wind. It means that they're willing to follow the Lord through all this, to hear truth through all this. Doesn't mean they just jump at everything that comes along, or jump the first time someone talks to them about something. But they're willing to actually look at it. They're willing to actually look at it. Honestly, look at it. Not just plant their feet in concrete. That's in everything. Whatever endeavor in life, if you're the expert, you're probably not too easily entreated. If you're the one that knows everything, you're probably not going to be too open to listen to anybody else. The people in the Bible that listened to God, one man, a mule, talked to him. God was able to use a donkey to get his attention. Jesus said, the stones would cry out. He said, out of the mouths of babes, I've perfected praise. Sometimes the simplest things right in front of us are the wisest things, no matter how much we think we know. To be easily entreated is able to learn. Able to learn when you're old. You know, they say you can't teach an old dog a new trick. Well, you can if you're easily entreated. For the most part, you can. People have their minds made up and they're just not going to listen to you. Why would I listen to you? Some of the most profound things I ever learned was from people who had no idea what they were saying. May the Lord add His blessings. Anyone have anything you want to share?
Yes, I did. About 2 days ago, I was reading this very passage, and I came to that verse of the wisdom from above is first pure. And I remember using that years, as when we're dealing with someone, if we make sure that our understanding of the gospel is pure. Then we can be peaceful, easily treated, full of mercy, and all that hinges on that purity of doctrine, or purity of sincerity, or whatever. But that's almost the opposite of what it's actually saying. It's saying that just what you preach, that pure wisdom is that it's able to be taught, and not necessarily requiring all of the perfection of the right doctrine or whatever. It's the ability to be beyond that and be able to be not utterly perfect, but still the desire to be the opposite of jealousy and selfish ambition and bitterness. And then it talks about the seed whose fruit is righteousness. The seed that produces righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. And the way I had looked at that is usually in contentions, not in peace.
Right.
And it's just really a blessing that I had no idea what you were talking about, but it just that very thing I was thinking about. And maybe we in our family together.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, when studying the early church, whenever we began studying it a little bit, some of the people who really studied it mentioned that one of the most notable things about it was that they were undogmatic. There was just a lack of being dogmatic. And that just shocked me, because trying to find truth and finding things that have slipped, I'd spent years developing being dogmatic so I wouldn't lose the things. So I spent time with people who the goal was being dogmatic, but thinking that that was truth, thinking that was how you maintain truth, just never changing, being a dogmatic, and just the thought of change is just smelled of corruption and liberalism. And so then you read about the early church. One of the most notable things about them were their lack of being such dogmatic, being so dogmatic. And it was just a shock that how in the world, it just almost said, I don't want to listen to them anymore. They're wrong. Because I'm being dogmatic. But then just listening, looking, realizing that they had it far more than what I was talking about. So, anyway, that's a real blessing to
County were able to get along for 300 years.
Right.
And so many varied places and faiths, so many different applications. They loved each other.
Right. Right. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Okay. Boys, next Sunday your lesson is to give thoughts on the wisdom from above.
Oh. Sowing in the sunshine, sowing in the shadows, fearing neither clouds nor winter's chilling breeze, flying by the harvest, and the river ended, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves.
When